Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Stacey King, host of Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast.
Can I get some Give Me the Hot Sauce?
Three-time NBA champion.
All over the Chicago Bulls. Three straight NBA championships.
Delivering some of the best calls for your Chicago Bulls.
2 seconds left.
Somewhere in Australia, Sydney, or Melbourne, Paul Hogan is somewhere, Crocodile Dundee, Allah.
It's getting hot in here because Stacey King is on the way with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to the great Stacey King, best broadcaster in the league, Bulls TV, Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. And Stacey joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Stacey, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, boys. I'm doing great.
And it was great to hear you. You guys did kind of the emergency podcast off of the draft, and we played some of your reaction. You seem pretty pleased that the Bulls got themselves Noah Esenge, the 6'10", 18-year-old, the 6'10 teenager from France who played in Germany the last couple of years. And I'm just curious, has that settled in for you? Do you feel very comfortable with him and what they did with him?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you know, when you have the 12th pick in the draft, you got to go for what's best available. You know, what player is out there that is the best on the board. And I felt like this kid, you know, I called this earlier on our show, that this is a kid to watch because of his length, his size. He's one of the youngest in the draft. He's playing pro ball right now. And he's showing you that, you know, in a few years, if he's developed nicely, he could turn out to be, you know, a poor man's, Siakam over in Indiana. Mm. You know, that type of player that can be a two-way player for you offensively and defensively. And, you know, again, you have to appreciate what the Bulls are doing. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, half the group wants him to go younger. They want to win now, you know, one foot in, one foot out. You know, they're committed to putting, you know, getting young talent now. You know, and if you want to call it rebuild, no one likes to use that word, rebuild. But, you know, technically it is. I mean, you got a roster full of good young players. They're building in the right direction. They're building for 2026. They're going to have a lot of money off the books to be able to, you know, get out and get in that free agent market. And then the draft next year is very good.
We, a year ago, were saying and hearing similar things about Matas Bezelis, Stacey. And we saw him after a tough first half of the season, really flourish and ascend in the second half. And now he is who he is, a cornerstone foundational piece of this franchise. How similar and different is Esenge in terms of his development and how close he is to contributing to the Bulls?
Well, I think if you listen to him talk, you got to be impressed with him because, you know, he knows what he has to do. He wants to work. He wants to do whatever he needs to do to get on the floor. And when you have a kid that talks that way at 18, that tells you that he's serious about his craft. I think defensively, he's probably closer to being playing right away. more so than offense. I think where you're going to see him develop offensively is in transition. You know, as you can see in the NBA championship between Oklahoma City and Indiana, the pace that those two teams played at, you got to have athletes, man. You can't have dinosaurs out there anymore. You got to have Ferraris and, you know, not some you know, Hyundais. You got to get out and run. And so this is a kid who can get out in transition right now, get rebounds, play some defense, get in transition, and get out and run. And again, you know, you hear all this, well, he can't shoot. Well, that's not a forever, you know, forever situation. You can get better shooting, you know, but you can't get better. You can't have a kid who doesn't have a motor all of a sudden try to get a motor. This kid has a motor. You want guys that love to play, they like modest, they spend their time in the gym, they want to be out there, they want to get better. And I think coming and playing with people like that, it will really, really force him to do that.
Yeah, we talked to Mark Eversley yesterday, and Mark Eversley, I don't know where I'm going. We talked to Mark Eversley about this kid, and we asked him, what is the German Bundesliga like? How would you compare the basketball level he was at versus the ones, you know, whether it's a college league here, whether it's a the G League? And he had a great answer. He said, well, he's playing against grown men. And so he went there when he was 17, and we know how the European outfits work. You recruit guys, you have them in your juniors, and then you play them with the first team. So when he was in the first team of that league, he did pretty well. His numbers are pretty good. But having played against grown men, it's kind of like the same idea with Matas, where you're coming in from not playing in college, but playing in the G League, and there are guys doing that professionally.
Well, I think the thing that I look at with this kid is that, one, he's 6'10 with shoes off. You always hear this, oh, he's listed at 6'10, but he's really 6'8 with shoes off. Well, right. One, we don't play with our shoes off, but he's a legit 6'10 with shoes on, and he's probably going to grow another inch or so. So he can probably top out about 6'11", maybe 7 feet. And once he adds, you know, muscle to his frame, you're going to have a pretty good specimen. But as far as him playing, you know, being an 18-year-old, you know, he did come over here a couple of years ago, and they played the Portland Trailblazers. And, right. You know, he had a pretty good game against legit pros, so at 17. So if you got a glimpse of him there, and I think also you have to take into consideration, too, is that his name skyrocketed up the boards. A lot of people had not seen him or been able to see him play, but over the last couple of weeks, his name skyrocketed on the board as being a guy that could be in the top 12, and some even thought in the top 10. And so when you look at what the Bulls are trying to do, listen, first of all, the Bulls have been small the last couple of years. We have a team full of guards. Last year it was necessary that we had all the guards because we had so many injuries at the guard position. But let's be realistic. We were a small team. You've got to start. The teams that are winning in this league have length. They have size. And, you know, people are going to look back in this draft and say, oh, they should have drafted Queen. They should have drafted this guy. Should have drafted that. You draft a guy that you feel fits your needs right now, you know. And I think that's what they did. They went out and got a long, athletic wing, which they desperately needed. You know, because right now you only have Modest and you have Patrick Williams. And so you don't really have a lot of depth at the big positions. And so I think they addressed their issue, what they needed to get.
Whether it was the draft and the decision-making to take Essanga at 12 or moving forward and what to do with Vooch for next season, how does what's going on in the Eastern Conference with Boston and Milwaukee and Indiana having those injuries and maybe the whole conference being up for grabs, how does that affect the Bulls' decision-making for the draft and free agency?
Well, I mean, that's a tough situation because, you know, you might have the mindset like, oh, wait a minute, it's wide open now. Let's go win now. I think you have to stay the course of what your game plan was. I think the Bulls have to stay the course of let's build this team the right way. Let's gear ourselves up for 2026 to free agency and the draft. We really don't want to be in the draft next year, but if we are, that's the draft you want to be in because there's some game changers in that draft. I mean, some of those kids would have probably moved Cooper Flagg down from number one. So there's really good talent in that draft next year, but it is open. I mean, you look at teams like Cleveland who are healthy. They got to be licking their chops now, thinking they can come out of the East. You know, you look at Indiana; they're going to be hurting without Tyler. You know, without Halliburton. So, you know, Tyrese Halliburton. So they're going to be down. Boston's going to be down. Boston's already got rid of two starters. So they're trying to gear up and try to, you know, wait until Jason Tatum comes back. So some of these teams may be, you know, be take a year off that were the elite teams. You don't know how New York's going to be without Thibodeau. What coach is going to come in there and make a difference and be better than what they had with Tom Thibodeau? So it is definitely wide open. Teams like, you know, Atlanta, Orlando, Detroit. Detroit, who was like the fifth or sixth seed this year, they got to be looking at chops saying, hey, we got a legitimate shot to you know, come out of the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be interesting. And I think if you're the Bulls, I think, yeah, they want to win. Yeah, you want to win. But, you know, you also got to stay the course of what they're planning and what they're trying to do and where they're trying to build for the future, because you want to sustain it. You want sustainability. You don't want just a 1 year, oh, we were good 1 year, and then we're back to being where we should, you know, where we were the year before. So you just want to sustain what you're doing. I think they're doing that. I think the main priority is getting Josh Giddey back in fold, you know, and then Coby White. You know, what's Coby White's situation? Because, you know, he's going to be – his contract's going to come up pretty, you know, next year. So, you know, you got some decisions to make.
Yeah, you know, it was strange that they traded the pick yesterday. It's not surprising in any way. We knew going into the second round, and Eversley had talked about it the night before, that they had, you know, what is it now, 14 guys under contract if they do indeed bring back Giddey and sign Essanguay, which they'll do. So it's not like they got a lot of room. But when they traded that second-round pick, 10 spots for cash, it just was almost like a PR thing where and teams do that. And as I said, they don't have any space for anyone. But, boy, it was almost like open season, people taking shots about what they're doing. And they got a kid from, is he Australian or New Zealander?
Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, he's from Australia. Yeah, he's pretty good. The kid's pretty good. I mean, I like I said, I haven't seen him on a regular basis from what I've talked to people and what I have seen on film. He's got good feet. He runs the floor. Another guy that can get up and down the floor. Played in the same team that Josh Giddey came up through. So he's supposed to be pretty good. But listen, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, they've got some decisions to make. You got to decide what you're going to do with Vooch. How that situation is going to work out. You got Lonzo here. You know, he's got a really nice contract that you can move. A lot of teams love Lonzo and they want him. You know, so you've got some questions. They got some questions they got to answer. You know, Javon Carter just opted into his, you know, his option. So that puts a wrinkle in things too. But, you know, they've got some decisions to make between now and the end of the summer and what they're going to do and what the team is going to finally look like coming in, because, you know, you still got free agency. You know, you still got free agency in it, but you got to move some people to get in that free agency. So it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you were advising AK or Mark Eversley about how to handle Coby White's situation, what would you recommend?
Man, you know, that's why they get paid the big bucks.
Right.
You know what? I love my day job, man. I don't want to get – listen, I love Coby. I think Coby has made some tremendous strides. I've always been a big fan of his game, and he's evolved into one of a very good NBA player now. You know, I think the question is like, you know, he's going to command a lot of money. If you're going to pay Josh Giddey, you know, $30 million a year, what is Coby White worth? You know, is he worth 40? I mean, so, and then you got Io coming on the book soon. I mean, you got some decisions to make, man. And you know, you got to ask this question. Like, you know, I know in the second half, Coby played. There was a stretch of games where he just played out of his mind. We've seen that with Coby, you know. But that's going to be something Kobe's going to have to do on a nightly basis, or every night. Can he do that? Is he capable of putting together stretches, you know, like Zach LaVine? Whether you like Zach or not, you know, maybe, you know, he's a high-volume scorer, blah, blah, blah. Zach could get you 25 or 30 every night. So you have to ask, you know, is Kobe capable of doing that? We've seen it in stretches. We've seen where he goes on these 10, 11-game, you know, just right. scoring right. binges. But can he do it consistently, you know, every single night as you're starting two guard?
It's fascinating to me to think about what to expect from the newest Bull. What does Essanga do for them next year? Is this a guy, you know, you mentioned that he's probably further ahead with his defense than his offense. He's also a end-to-end guy that can finish at the rim and maybe help protect the rim in a fast break type of game. We think of Matas and the way that he got on the floor. Initially, he wasn't getting on the floor because Billy Donovan wasn't pleased with his defense, and he had to prove that he could play defense in order to get on the floor and play. If this kid can play defense, can he get on the floor? A lot of people say, well, you can't. He's 18 years old. You can't really expect too much from him as he jumps up a level or two coming into the NBA, that it will take him longer and you got to be patient with him. Do you look at it that way, Stacey, or do you think that if he can defend, he can play?
I look at it this way. I mean, if he's on a championship caliber team, he's playing on Oklahoma City, you can afford to sit him. You can afford to sit him, send him down to the G League and let him play. But when you're a team like the Bulls who need to develop players, they have to be out there on the floor. You can't have them sitting, you know, all year long and think they're going to develop. They don't develop. First of all, there's not a lot of practice time, as you guys know.
Right.
So if you had practice time, you could use that time to develop him and get more one-on-one time with him. But they don't practice a lot because of the travel schedule, and so they don't get a lot of practice time. And, you know, the Bulls are not a championship-caliber team right now. So all hands on deck. You got to play these kids, and you got to develop them, and you got to live with their mistakes, you know. That's what developmentally is. That's where you show them. You bring them, show them videos, tapes, and they say, hey, you know, you've got to rotate here defensively. You've got to be here when we are doing this on the other side. And they have to go through these experiences. They have to learn. They've got to fail. And then they've got to be reprimanded and be taught what they're supposed to do. Because, listen, I came out of four-year school, big-time college, mm-hmm. okay? And I could block shots and run the floor and rebound, do all that stuff. But the way the defense is and the defensive system in the NBA is totally different than college or any other league that you're playing in, because NBA defense is straight man-to-man, and you're going to have to guard people, and you're going to have to know how to switch, and you're going to have to play pick and rolls. And it's a little bit different now because, you know, when I played, it was like you stayed on a power forward or you stayed on the center, and maybe you blitzed the pick and roll and you trapped guards. The way the defense is set up now, you're asking your 5 and 4 guys to switch on, you know, point guards and two guards, and have to guard them for about 15 seconds possession. And so you got to know where the rotations are. You got to know when I have to rotate a second time, where am I supposed to be? Where do I got to go? Those are things that have to be learned, and those are the things you have to have experience in. You throw them out there. You throw them out there. Let them take their lumps. You know, they're going to get their butts kicked. But the Bulls are not in position right now and where they're going. They're not a championship caliber team. Let's be honest. They're a team right now trying to build a championship team the right way. And so that's the only way your young players are going to learn. Look at Modest. If you go back and you look at Modest last year, Modest, when he got extended minutes, Modest played extremely well. Mm. Now I'm talking 20-plus minutes, he played really well. And second half of the season, he got those minutes. He got those minutes. And there was times Modest failed defensively. He was not where he was supposed to be. And you have to tell him. You have to get on him. Okay, you got to be here. Let's watch film. You got to break it down to him. Because sometimes a kid will say, I was there, but the film don't lie. That's what the late, great Johnny Bach would always say to us, is we would tell him, yeah, I was there, coach. I rotated there. I was there. The film don't lie. Let's go look at the film. And then sure enough, you weren't where you're supposed to be. And then he's like, okay, all right, you got me, coach. Okay, all right, I see what you're talking about.
So Stacey, before we let you go, I have to know this. You were in on Noah Essanga in saying that Bulls should take him, and I didn't hear that from a lot of other people. What did you know, and when did you know it?
Well, I've seen videos of him early last season. And I didn't really think anything. I was just thinking about what would the Bulls be able to get at that position. You know, right. Once they figured out right. that they were going to be like 12. Now, if we were number one, you knew where I was going. So, but once I figured out that they were going 12, I started doing my homework. Because we talk about on our show a lot who the Bulls could get at that position, what could possibly fall. Could there be a situation that happened to Modest? Modest was supposed to be a top five pick last year. He slips all the way to 11. You know, Dalton Connect, who was supposed to be a top five, slipped all the way down, you know, into the teens. So there's always someone going to slip, you know. And I just felt like, let me see who's coming up. You know, and if you think about this, guys, if you've seen what's going on the last few years, France is starting to become a threat yeah. internationally in yeah. basketball. Yeah. They took the Dream Team to the brink of an upset. And these young players that you see in the United States right now, the ones that are playing in Atlanta and Washington, Sar in Washington, and the other kid, Echeverry or Nez, whatever his name is, in Atlanta. And then you see Wimby. You know, Wimby's the charter. He's like the head vampire. He's created a lot of little guys, and now they've all played. These kids all play together. They all play together in like youth league. So there's this international flavor with France now that, you know, these kids can play, man. And I think people are starting to take it seriously, and you're starting to see more French players come over now.
Stace, we'll let you go. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on this Ace Bailey story. This is one of the all-time weird ones. The guy, he doesn't want to interview with anyone. He wants to force himself, I guess, to Washington. Then he winds up in Salt Lake City. He doesn't show up. He's got to be there by Monday to get his $40 million, and maybe he doesn't go.
Well, I tell you what's really kind of hurt these kids a little bit is that this NIL. You know, they're getting money now in college. They're getting $4 or $5 million in college, so they come to the NBA. They're not poor. They're not broke. Okay, so they think because I got this NIL money, I can decide where I want to go. It doesn't work that way. Listen, he got bad advice. Whoever was his representation or whoever's in his inner circle gave him some bad advice. Because at the end of the day, you're at a job interview. You're going to a job interview. Forget the money. Forget that it's the NBA. It's a job interview. Whether you work out for the team or not, you go interview for the team. Okay? You don't have to work out. You know? You don't have to work out when you're a top five pick. I would say go do it, but I would do it. But a lot of kids don't. They'll just go in there for the interview process. He got some bad advice, and I'm going to tell you something. If Utah was smart, because Utah recognizes that regardless of the situation, regardless of what his attitude was, he's still a top three player. There's no way in the world that we can let this guy slip past us. Because I think if he slips past Utah, he might have dropped in like 10. He might have dropped even further. So Utah did him a favor, I think, by drafting him and recognizing that he's an elite talent. And, yeah, once he gets here and once he sees – what Utah's all about in our organization. We got Dwayne Wade part of it, yep. You know, so I think he'll warm up to it. And probably that's what he needs. Maybe he needs to be in a place where, you know, there's stability. You know, there's not a lot of stability in Washington. There's a lot of things, you know, a lot of, you know, I know they're making a lot, they've got their team full of veterans now, but they've been a down franchise for a while now, as far as like the talent and just not winning. And now maybe being in Utah will be a good place for him. He'll be around, you know, Danny Ainge and his son. You know, they're doing a good job. You know, they got a good young coach there. So, you know, maybe that'll get him to turn it around a little bit. He's got talent, though. You get no denying the kid is a very good basketball player.
Great stuff, Stacey. Thanks a ton. Always great to catch
Thanks,
up
Stacey.
With you.
Thank you, boys. Glad to, hey, Dave, congratulations on the Hall of Fame, baby.
Hey,
I didn't know you were slinging like that, Dave. I didn't know you had an arm like that, baby.
Thanks, Stacey. Appreciate it.
All right, boys.
All right, you
That's
too.
That's Stacey King. Yeah. Is that for your arm?
Hey. No, that's okay.
It's your hand.
It's the spirit of the – it's the intention.
That's great.
It's the thought that counts.
That's fun stuff.
Yeah.
Always good to talk to Stacy.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.